Hi everyone, we are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today, we are honored to host Samuel Gozo. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And this podcast is brought to you by StricosApp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, cancer. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates or coaches people dealing with the same life challenge, and we will tell their story and the stories of the members of that, the people that they help. So again, thank you for being with us, Samuel. And today, I think your life story involves so many life challenges in a way, but still we're sitting here today and you're on a chair that you help other people, and you decided to dedicate your life to help other people. So maybe take us to this first life challenge that you want to share with us, and then get us all like share with us a little bit of the highlights of your life story.
Yeah, sure. So just as we discussed a couple of days ago when we were just getting to know each other, part of my coaching journey, which began over 6 years ago, involved me literally hustling my way to homelessness. Now, to throw a little humor out there for our listeners, I like to joke around and say that my first 2 years as a life coach were the birth child of a dumpster fire and a train wreck, because I didn't quite know how to market. I was still getting myself familiar with the process of coaching. And in essence, I talk to everyone in my market. Therefore, I talk to no one. There's an importance on having a niche, which I did not have. So when I tried to talk to people, didn't quite work. When I tried to combine personal training with life coaching, that absolutely did not work. So didn't do as well as I needed to sustain myself, and found myself living out of my car. So that was August of 2018. And that 3 month period of time where, first of all, I am in Austin, Texas, where it is hotter than it legally should be allowed to be, living in a car. That 3 month period of time in the middle of the summer was a very humbling time period for myself, where I had to reevaluate a lot of the agreements and beliefs that I had around who I was as an individual, who I was as a business owner, my worth as both because of success or perceived success. And the same thing goes for failure. So I really learned to slow down. Really learned to understand who I was truly created as in the image of God, understand what my business was, who my business was meant to serve. And that's a process that every business owner is going to go through, however long it takes. But it is a process that should not be rushed. Anyway, I don't think I would have gotten out of that situation had I not finally accepted, you know what? I can't sit here and pretend that I am okay, and I can't just keep on white knuckling through my issues. I've got to stop, face them, process them, pray about them. And weeks later, through some events that lined up, I found a place in San Antonio, continued to build my coaching practice to be what it is today, adding different certifications, learning more about the coaching industry. And now I'm a credentialed coach of the International Coaching Federation.
Wow. What a change. Amazing. I'm blown away, as I was a few days ago when we prepared to this episode. And I'm like, I want to take you to this 3 month period of your life being a homeless. Like, can you tell me a little bit about like the first night, the first week when you're lying there, sitting there in your car and realizing that you are homeless, like, which is, I'm assuming is not a, like something that people look up to, like as a title of so what does it feel inside?
Yeah. So me being the person that always looked at adversity as something to push my way through, fight my way through, as on anything on day one, you're motivated. It's like, all right, I'm in this low position. I'm going to find my way out of it. Rah, rah, yut, yut, all that good stuff. So as I went through that first day, first things first, I'm like, okay, it's hot. I need to crack some windows open. Pretty easy to think about that once you're like, okay. Then I thought, I'm like, okay, I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this. There are going to be some nights where I'll probably be able to afford a hotel, because luckily I still had working clients and I still had money coming in at that time. not nearly enough to sustain myself, but enough to keep me going. But anyway, I'm like, all right, maybe I need to buy a few fans. Maybe I need to buy something to make the Dart a little bit more comfortable. Take all the stuff that's in the backseat, put it into the trunk of the car. And I realize, okay, this is not how I'm supposed to be living. So I'm going to get myself out of this as quickly as possible. Something I want to put emphasis on is I said, I have to get myself out. So I was in this place of isolation and I didn't even realize it as strongly as honestly I should have. Otherwise, I probably would have asked for help. My parents didn't know. A lot of my friends did not know. The only person that knew was my best friend because, for lack of better terms, he saw the implosion happen in as close to real time as you can get. He was states away, but we communicated regularly. I shared my challenges. He shared his challenges. We've been tight for the last 10 years. So he knew. And then I got a phone call, I think 3 weeks later, from my mom asking, hey, did you move into a new apartment? I don't quite remember what I said, but I said something along the lines of it's being worked out. And I was doing my best to work it out. But again, I was alone in this, for lack of better, because there is such a deep shame. At least there was a deep shame that I was walking with where I felt like I had to be the person that sustained myself and I failed on literally all accounts. I felt that I had to be the one to get myself out. And if I did reach out for help, and this is something, if I'm being completely honest, I'm still shedding bit by bit, that I'd be a burden to other individuals, that I'd be seen as less than. Maybe the less than is not so much a prevalent thing now, but being a burden definitely is something that I've had to work through in different areas and different seasons. So that's not what I wanted to be. And if I did ask for help, I did want to have at least something that I can show to someone and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm doing here. I'm not just starting from ground zero. This is all I've done, and this is as far as I could have gone. But let's be honest. Is that real? If I get as far as I can go, how long is it going to be until I say, you know what? I can do better and I can do better and I can do better. And as you're doing that, because you're so limited by yourself, you start losing bits and pieces of the previously established foundation because nobody's there to help upkeep, sustain, etc. So I think it was mid-September where I finally admitted, I don't really have it as much as I thought I did.
I think that you spot on in terms of like the shame description, like the, and that you're the only one in the world that's dealing with such a challenge. And I think for me, and it sounds like for you also, is that for me, it's even kind of like my life mission to make sure that people understand that we are all dealing with life challenges. We are all dealing, like, shit can happen to everyone. Like, it's like everyone. And actually, latest statistics, every 16 months, a person will go through a life challenge. It could be anything. So when talking like you're doing about what you went through, I'm sure that people that will listen to this episode will be inspired and will not feel alone anymore, because they will hear that other people are going through the same life challenge. Does that resonate? Like, do you have like, what made you feel comfortable sitting here with me today and talking about it?
See, what made me feel comfortable about this is a number of things. I think the very first one is understanding that I am coming from a place of having learned a lot of lessons that I didn't previously. It doesn't mean it's not painful to talk about. You can be healed and still deal with some residual pain from certain seasons, and I certainly have. But the thing is, I wouldn't want anyone to go through what it is that I went through. I'm not specifically talking about the homelessness period, because there are a lot of different life events, and if that happens to you, then my heart definitely goes out. It's just the shame of it all. The shame definitely pushes you to a place of isolation and much further from any help than best way I can put it is there's no nobility in suffering in silence because you're ashamed of where you are. I think a lot of places in society have done a fantastic job crafting this picture of an unattainable life, a life that can be yours if you work hard and do all this good stuff. And I'm all for hard work. I'm all for paying your dues and making things happen. I'm not a fan of the idealized version of something that has no practical backing to what it is that you're trying to do. I'm not a fan of suffering in silence because you're chasing a nebulous idea of success. I'm not a fan of isolating yourself from family and friends because some entrepreneurial figurehead that you've never met and doesn't really care about you says that if your friends and family don't support you in this way, X, Y, and Z, then they're haters and you need to cut them out of your life. I literally broke down something that says if you don't have five people that you are willing to go into business with, you have poverty in your phone. You have relegated someone from the fullness of their identity to poverty because they don't want to go into business with you. Give me a break. Like, please miss me with all that crap. So going back to the question you asked me originally, I can talk about this because I'm no longer that person that drank so much Kool-Aid that he didn't realistically have the appetite for or didn't have the stomach to handle. So that's why I can talk about it.
And now, stage of life that you're helping people, although I do hear you that you, while dealing with this challenge, you still manage to coach people and to maintain your customers, which is amazing. Can you share with us a story of a person or two that pops in mind that their story resonated with you or did like a change in their life that you're really proud of?
Yeah, absolutely. There was another individual who was building his business. And something that I've noticed with a lot of people in positions of authority, I don't know if this is a rule. I don't know if there are just exceptions that I've come across. I haven't hit the 10-year mark on my business yet. But anyway, I'm seeing a lot of issues with interpersonal relationships that affect a lot of the business that individual can be doing. And that's been the case with this particular client that I was working with back a few years ago. With the transformation that I saw within him, he made more money in his business doing the things that we worked on and uncovered than things that he previously did. He had a much better outlook on people. He had a much better outlook on business than what he had before he came to me. And it sounds minor. Forgive me for the nebulousness. I'm trying not to break confidentiality with all the details bound to that by the ICF Code of Ethics. But that to me just showcased the power of coaching stronger than it ever did to date. It's like, wow, this is incredible. Like, I already knew through the journey that I walked and through the journey that I saw other individuals walk as well. But that right there is just like, wow. It's like, usually the problem is not the problem. It's the person in relation to the problem. And I say problem loosely. I don't say like, oh my gosh, you're a problem. But rather the subject to focus on might not be the issue or the crisis that you think it is.
Yeah, 100%. And do you think that something in your past and kind of, maybe I'll start with another question. Like, how transparent are you with your clients? Like telling your own personal story and maybe getting your own personal story into the discussions that you have with them?
Great question. So in the actual coaching sessions themselves, I leave myself out of it, but I'm very transparent on my socials, my websites. And the reason for that is in the coaching industry, we keep the billable hours 100% about our clients. There is a place where a professional does share their experiences and their stories, and that's typically consulting. That's not coaching. Yeah. So in that, I'm helping you unearth your own stuff. And if I put myself into that story, it increases the risk of the coaching session becoming about me. And here's the problem with that. We may have the same or similar experiences, whether it's our upbringing, our challenge, our goals, but there are certain things about me that do not exist within you and vice versa that will make the same piece of advice work differently for us. You might think to yourself, making 7 phone calls, very arbitrary example, making 7 phone calls, no problem. I could do that within a 3-day period of time. Another individual, same or similar backgrounds, might not find that super easy because he or she or they are dealing with their own imposter syndrome. They might not have a phone. They might not have a network. They might not even know 7 people. So you see where I'm going here? Similarities don't always mean similar. Yes. So I always keep it about them. I know I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, 100%. And I think that, yeah, that's for the coaching part. As you said, in terms of like consulting, I think that, like for me, it's a deep belief that if you speak with someone that's going through the same life challenge, it makes you feel relieved, makes you feel normal. So back to my question, so you do share your own personal experience. You're doing it outside of the coaching sessions. Am I doing it correctly?
Correct. I make it very easy for people to learn about me. And that doesn't mean I play Dear Diary and share everything, but you'll most likely find something that you'll be able to relate to on my socials, on my website, and anywhere else I might be listed.
Can you think before we pose, can you share with me just one more story of one person that left a mark that you think that was the interaction between you were meaningful and their story?
Okay, cool. So another big thing, and this really ties into one of the places where it's like we have similar experiences, yet not the same outlook on certain areas. This was an individual, and this is a pretty basic definition, wanted to cut out sugar and carbs from their place, among many other big areas, which they've asked me to keep in confidence. So that's what I'm going to honor here. Mm-hmm. But me being a former personal trainer, I'm like, okay, this is going to be super easy. Oh, wait, I can't come into this from a personal training perspective. Mm-hmm. I think what was really special about that conversation was I put my fixer to the side much stronger than I ever had before. By cutting sugar and carbs, I can come up with a list of things that you can do. But I got to learn a lot about his world. I got to learn about his unique struggles and even stories around health. To the point where the solution that he came up with transcended more than just cutting out sugars and carbs. From the time that we started working together to the end, 4 months later, he had been a completely and utterly different person because he wasn't just going after the little things. He was going after himself as it relates to the thing, whether that's the gym, dating, eating. I was blown away. First of all, he was very open, very transparent. One of my favorite clients to work with are those who are willing to go into that deep stuff. He also utilized the online platform that I give to all my clients very frequently. So he was sharing with me a lot of his discoveries and what he's been allowing, what he's been believing, and really just being open and raw. And it really goes to show that if you are just going after the individual issues and the individual problems, you'll only get so far. Yeah. But if you take a look and you check in with you, is it the dark or your interpretation of the dark? And I know it might sound basic, but for those listening, that is super serious. Don't just skid the surface of your story as it relates to something. Go as deep to the ocean floor as you can. and you'll find much more long-term solutions than anything that you might find on YouTube or Goalcast or a podcast. And no harm, no foul against any of the above. They could help, but the rest definitely starts with exploring your intrinsic design and how that's interacted with everything else around you.
That's amazing. That's a great way to segue to say thank you, Samuel, for sharing your story and the people that you support their story and for your wisdom. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you.
It was amazing. Thank you for having me.